You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. Today, we get a preview into Vision 2020 and where the church is headed over the next year.
Our mission, the mission of Portland Christian Center, is actually pretty clear, and it's very simple. In fact, this is the mission of every church, every God-honoring, biblically-based church on planet Earth, or it should be. We just have chosen unique language in a particular way to describe how it fits for us, and this is the mission, to know God and make Him known. That's the mission. That's the mission of Portland Christian Center. In fact, I want you to say that with me. Say it together, know God and make Him known. And that's your mission, by the way. If you're a follower of Christ, that is your mission. It's my mission. It's our mission together, to know God and make Him known. That's why we exist. It's what we do. And by the way, that mission won't change. That mission will not change. Now, pastors may change. Personnel may change. The programs might change. We all have gone through those seasons of change. But the mission doesn't change. It stays the same. But we find new ways to accomplish the mission depending on the situation or the season of time. And that's what strategy and vision are for. Strategy determines how we will accomplish the mission. Vision describes or pictures for us what it will look like when we get there. So strategy is how we will get there. Vision is what there will look like. And periodically, God gives new vision to His people at milestone moments on their journey toward the mission of God. For instance, God spoke to Abraham one day and He said, "Tonight I want you to go out and look up into the sky. I want you to see all of the stars of the heaven. And I want you to imagine a family, descendants as numerous as those stars." You see, Abraham and Sarah were well advanced in years and they had no children. And God said, "I want you just to go out and picture this. Imagine descendants as numerous as the stars." God wanted to give Abraham a family, apparently a very big family. If you look over into the New Testament, we find that the book of Acts says that we are, or maybe it's the Apostle Paul says that we are those who follow Christ in the new community. We are those spiritual descendants of Abraham. So think about that. Abraham has hundreds of millions of descendants around the world today, but it started with imagination. 700 years later, God spoke to Joshua, and He said, "I want you to look across the Jordan River. Look across this valley, and I want you to look into the land of Canaan, and I want you to imagine a new home for God's people." God's people were Israel at the time. Those were Abraham's descendants as well, and they now numbered 700 years later into the millions. And so God says to Joshua, "I want you to imagine a new homeland that is flowing with milk and honey." It started with imagination. Well, now a new vision is emerging for us as we exit this season and we're about to enter into a new year, 2020. I mean, imagine that. Just imagine that it's going to be 2020. How many of you were around before the year 2000 hit, right? Most of us were around before the year 2000 hit. I remember as a teenager, I was kind of fast-forwarding and doing the math, thinking of how old I would be when the millennium changed. And then it came, and we have blown right past that, haven't we? 20 years later, we're now at 2020, and I'm like 85 years old now. How did that happen? Time just flies by. It's crazy. So imagine that we are going to hit a new decade soon, and what will our future look like? And that decade will be the gateway, that year, 2020, will be a gateway to a brand new decade. And so what will our vision be as a church in this next season of time as we strive to fulfill our mission to know God and to make Him known? Well, Vision 2020, as we're calling it, will propel us into a new future using three strategic initiatives that will synergize our calling to the mission of God, to know God and to make Him known. It will strategically realign us to the missional functions of the church. The church, big C, the universal church, and not just the little C church, Portland Christian Center. And it will serve to pivot Portland Christian Center to a new season of kingdom advancement over the next decade, and I believe well beyond that. This is going to impact who we are and what we do and how we do it. Now, Vision 2020 is intentionally based in Acts 20:20. How about that? That's pretty tricky, huh? Vision 2020 in Acts 20:20, when the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders, listen to what he said, that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly, and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from that verse, there are three initiatives that will launch in 2020 that we're going to talk about in terms of gather, grow, and go. Gather, grow, and go. This Acts church that we just read about, our vision model, did it that way. Gather. They met publicly in a specific place. Do you know that the church has always been identified not only as a people, but as a people in a specific place, in a specific time? Now, if you're the underground church hiding out from those trying to kill you, then you're not going to have a public gathering place. But in all other circumstances, in all other times, in all places in the world, churches come together in a specific location. Now, Lynn and I and our team will work in places in Africa where the church gathers under a tree. They don't have a building, but they gather in that place, and they long for a building. They pray for a building. They ask us to help them to get a building, because that has always been what identified the people of God, their public place of worship. And then there's grow. They disperse from that gathering place. They disperse to their homes for discipleship. And that's really where discipleship in the early church took place at its best. They were ministering to one another. They were using their gifts. They were encouraging one another. They were growing together. That's where they did life together, and that's where they grew as disciples of Christ. And then there's go. As they scattered, they declared the gospel to the lost wherever they went. As they went back out into their world, they would declare the gospel in their going. Now, each of these initiatives will be launched, God willing, in the first half of 2020. Each one will be distinctly launched. And we're going to root them in our mission. We're going to offer a compelling vision for each one of them, and we're going to follow strategies to achieve them. But today is just a pre-launch or a preview, just to whet our appetite for where I believe God will lead us in the next decade. So what I want to do today is just to give you the big idea behind each of these three initiatives in the time that I have. But more importantly than that, that's going to be what I spend most of the time on today. But I think even more important than that will be the last 2 to 3 minutes of this message, where I'm going to give you a way to engage with God as we get ready for the 2020 launch. This is really important, because when you talk about big vision, and I think this is big vision, but when a pastor talks about big vision, here's what happens. A lot of people will get really excited about that. Man, that sounds great. We're going to do something different. This is going to be cool. And they don't do the due diligence of really praying and engaging with God about that vision and what it's going to mean for them. And so I really want you to pray. And that's what I'm going to challenge you to and give you a way to do that at the end of the service. Now, other people will react with fear. They'll go, oh, how can we do that? Do we want to do that? Should we do that? I like what we are right now. Why would we want to do anything different than what we are, be anything different than who we are right now? And so people will respond with a little bit of nervousness. And then my experience has been, in every church that I've been a part of, some people will react with frustration, if not anger. Because when they hear vision and God calling a church to a vision, there's something in them that's incongruent with the Spirit of God that they bristle at. Maybe they don't want to step out in faith. Maybe they don't want to be a part of it. Maybe they don't want to give to something. And so they can react to that, and they get angry about the vision, and so they're not on board with it. And sometimes people will leave because of a new vision. Now listen, if we will just pray about this first and ask God what He thinks about it, if we will just pray and say, God, I want what I see to be what you see. Yeah. We've talked about that in the video. What does God see? What do I see? Well, hopefully they become one and the same. Right. And it's not us changing God, it's God changing us so that we have His vision. If we will just pray and say, God, show me what it is and what it is you want me to do. If we'll just say, God, what do you want me to do? And just do that, we're going to be just fine. So that's why I want to engage you in this prayer exercise over the next 3 or 4 months as we get ready for the launch of 2020. So let's walk through these. The first one is gather. Gather. Now, gather will focus on our building, the physical place where we gather for worship on Sundays, on Wednesdays, at times throughout the week. Acts 20:20 says that they met publicly, that time-specific, location-specific place. Now, I want you to hear this. This is very important that you get this. That what happens here spiritually is far more important than this physical building. Please hear that. This building is amazing. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But what happens here spiritually is far more important than this physical building. So above all, my highest priority is the under-shepherd, under Jesus of this flock. My highest priority is to facilitate the presence of God in this place whenever we meet. That is my highest priority. We pray about that as a staff. We plan for that as best we can as a staff. And that is what I want to define this place, Portland Christian Center, the presence of God. The greatest compliment that I can hear on a Sunday when I'm out in the lobby interacting with you is not that, wow, that was the best sermon that you've ever preached. Or sometimes people say, you're getting good, finally. It's kind of an offhanded compliment. Or, wow, the music was spectacular. What Pastor Christel did today was amazing. It sounded so great. Or man, this is a friendly place. All of those are good. I hope all of those happen from week to week. But the number one thing I want to hear is, I encountered God there. I want to hear people say, I don't know what it was, but I just couldn't stop crying or laughing or whatever in the service. Because we know who that was. That was God interacting with their spirit. I can't wait to hear people say, man, I showed up there, and I keep showing up there because I experienced God at Portland Christian Center. That is what I want to define us. Not our preaching, not our productions, not our programs, not our music. What I want is the presence of God to be felt, the manifest presence of God to be felt and experienced every Sunday in this place. Listen, the success of our gatherings will be measured by our encounter with the living God. Not how lovely the building is. That will remain our number one driving value at Portland Christian Center. Because if we don't have that, this is just a building, not a church. If we don't have the presence of God, this is just a building. It's not the church of God. So that will remain our primary focus. But having said that, we have an amazing building. We have an amazing building. There are churches around the world that would give their right arm to have what we have. There are churches around the world that don't have buildings, or whose buildings have been confiscated, or who can't afford to build a building. There are churches in Portland that don't have what we have. We are blessed. We have an amazing building. Amen? This is an amazing building. And it's the result of God's favor. I don't know why he's favored us with this, but he has. So we have it, and we need to tend to it. We have this because of God's favor and the previous generation's visionary spirit and their sacrificial giving, their generous giving. People 40 years ago gave to this. They sacrificed. It was costly. I've heard some of the stories. But we are here today standing on their faith shoulders, and I don't want to take that for granted. Some of those people from the previous generation are sitting here in this room today. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for the price that you paid. Thank you for the sacrifice you made. We are blessed today because of what you did. Thank you. Thank you. Now I'm seeing some of you sitting out there, and I just want to cry. I want to come hug you. Man, thank you. We're blessed. But this building's 40 years old. And it's not been touched up for 20 years or so. And it deserves our attention. In fact, some of it's demanding our attention. Some of it's out of date. Some of it's not up to code. Literally, it's not up to code. Some of it actually works against our current discipleship pathways or the way people experience things today, the way people learn today. You know, when this was built 40 years ago, we were not in the information or the technology stage that we are right now, age right now. You know, when 40 years ago, if you were in school, grade school, you sat in a desk and you looked forward and you listened to the teacher or you went to the principal's office. You know, they don't do that today. They sit in tables. Learning is very interactive. It's very engaging. It's very collaborative. It's very kinesthetic. Things have changed, and so we have to adapt with those ways of change and with the age that we're living in to be able to reach people and help them to experience the God that we know and we love. And so we've got to do some things differently. And here's something else. The neglect of any building, a home, a business, a school, a church, the neglect of a building speaks volumes. And here's what it speaks. Internally, to those who live, work, learn, or worship there, subconsciously, it says, we're tired. It communicates that. Externally, to those who are thinking about considering coming there for whatever purpose, it consciously says, they don't care. A building communicates. It speaks volumes. And that's why successful businesses have a dollars per square foot budget formula every year for facility upgrades and updates, just to stay competitive. I wish I had time to unpack this a little bit more. I've listened to some tapes and done some reading, and maybe when we go into this phase of it next year and in the springtime, I can bring some of this out. But there are some interesting research and studies that have been done about why facilities must be upgraded. Let me have you think about it this way. All of you eat at McDonald's at least once a week, right? Or you want to, or your kids want you to, or your grandkids. Think about McDonald's. Why did they routinely refresh their stores? Why did they upgrade? Why did they update? Why did they tear their buildings down to build a new one on that very spot? Is it to make their burgers better? No, the burgers are never better. And they're never better. No, not they're never better. They're never better. A Big Mac is still a Big Mac, right? A Big Mac is still the same Big Mac that they invented 185 years ago. So why did they do that? Because they want to keep you coming back for those healthy, delicious meals. We had our grandkids, Noah and Nathan, down here about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now. And one of the days I was tasked to entertain them. And so I took them out to the Children's Museum and I said, "What do you want to eat?" And they said, "McDonald's." Well, it's the second time that week they wanted to go to McDonald's over here on Barber Boulevard. You know why? Because they have a playground inside. And they give Happy Meals with stupid little toys that break before you get out of the store. They're smart. They know that facility is important to getting you and your children or grandchildren to come back. Buildings matter. Buildings are mission critical to any organization. And they are to a church. Buildings are mission critical. So our board of deacons has authorized a building refresh team or a building committee. Now let me mention who these are, just so that you'll know. There's Steve Craigrud, who is the project manager, and he's our owner's representative for this. In fact, Steve works as a project manager overseeing multi-million dollar projects around the city. There's David Martin. There's Kevin Ruick, who is an architect. Linda Noah, staff representative. Deanna Caldwell. Kristen Hayden is a part of that. She has some interior design experience. There's Sarah Landis-Smith. James Pulitz represents the tech and media needs of the church. Paul Lewandowski, departmental leaders and facility stakeholders are invited to come in from time to time to weigh in on this. And so the board has authorized this building refresh team to engage, get this, with the original design build firm that created Portland Christian Center. The foremost church builder in America, Roe Messner and Associates, is coming back after 40 years. These guys are amazing. They have built close to 3,000 churches in the United States. They have built 180 buildings with the exact same footprint of Portland Christian Center. They know this building inside and out better than any of us do. And so all of these teams are coming together to conceptualize a reimagined Portland Christian Center. And I'm excited about it. It will lead to us refreshing our chapel and its lobby, recarpeting everywhere. Beautiful carpet. I love carpet. Not this carpet, but I love carpet. And this carpet is going to love coffee. It's going to love coffee spills. And when we finally get it in, I'm going to be the first to take a cup of coffee and just pour it on it. Because all of you have done that, and I never have. And I just want to see this coffee can take it. It can handle it. It's going to be great. We're doing the studies on this. It's not final yet, but we're really looking into retrofitting our hospitality center over here into a cafe. It is going to be absolutely amazing if we can pull this off. This is going to be a place that we could use if we do it the way we want. We can keep it open 24/7 if we want, and it will be secure, and the coffee will be good, and it will be a place to hang out, to do Bible studies. It is going to be fantastic. We are going to redo the restrooms. And all the women said, amen. Guys don't care about it, but the women do, so we have to do it for them. We are going to reimagine our lobby. The lobby is going to become a desired destination, a destination resort, if you will. The preliminary concepts of this that they have showed us excite me as much as anything else, because I love lobbies. You know, in the day when it was a foyer back in the late 1970s when it was built, the philosophy for church lobbies was just get the people in from the parking lot into the sanctuary so that they could listen to the pastor talk. It's changed. Lobbies are now destinations. And if we do this right, this will be a place where we can not only hang out and fellowship, which is a high value for us, we can do events there. This is going to be fantastic. Now, some of the people that are on this team are just cringing. They're saying, don't show pictures because it may not look like that. And I know, but I'm a visionary and I can't help it. I just got to talk about this. So bear with us. It may not look exactly like this, but these are some of the early stage concepts of it. So we're going to reimagine the lobby. We're going to renovate our children's wing over here. Because when people walk in, when parents walk in, we want them to say, they care about my kids. And we want their kids to say, we don't care what you're thinking, we want to get over there. And we want to come back here. We want this to be a family-friendly place. And ultimately, we want to redesign this sanctuary like you can't even imagine. Now, the team is just beginning the feasibility study. They're coming up with the concept. They have to put some cost to it. And we are going to follow governing procedures. We're not just going about this willy-nilly. We're not making it up as we go. We're following governing procedures. That's why, one of the reasons why we gave you the FAQ brochure a few weeks ago. It's available still out in the lobby. It's online now at our website. We want you to know that we follow procedures. We follow the board. We had to talk about this on the board. We have a constitution and bylaws that is our game plan. It's our rule book. We have a budget that we present every year that we have to follow. We have operational manuals, procedure manuals that we follow. I don't make this up as we go along. It's a playbook that we have that we operate by. So I want you to know, as we're coming up with this, we are following governing procedures. But our goal is to bring to you by next spring the detailed vision of what this is going to be. Now, some of you are thinking, hey, this sounds like it's going to be expensive. Yep. But I'm not afraid of that because God will help us. He always does. We don't have the money for this, whatever this is going to cost, but God will help us. He always has. And by the way, let me hasten to add, we are not going to go back into debt to do this. We work too hard to get out of debt. And so we will only do this as the Lord provides the resources for it. But I have faith that the Lord can provide those resources in advance so that we can do this. And we're designing it so we could do it in stages if we have to. So some of this, if not all of this, I believe all will, it will get done debt-free. God has always helped us, and He's going to honor that. Some of you are thinking, well, do we really need this? Yep. And I can give you a personal tour and show you why we really need this if you need that personal tour. If you don't want me, just go out there and look at the carpet, for one thing. And you'll see, we got to do something here. And some of you are thinking, is this really all that important to God? I mean, after all, some churches, you just said, don't have church buildings. They worship under trees. Is this really all that important to God? And again, I would say, yep. Do you know in the Old Testament, this is amazing. In the Old Testament, 40 chapters. That's bigger than any New Testament book. In the Old Testament, 40 chapters are dedicated to the construction plans of God's house. Does God care about buildings? Does he care about his building? I think he does. That would make it one of the largest books, if you put it all together, one of the largest, most significant books in the Old Testament. And if you were to go fast forward to the New Testament, to the very end of the book of Revelation, guess what? It talks quite a bit about the future house of God. And it spells out the game plan, the floor plan, the materials, what it's going to look like, what it's going to be used for. Does God care about his house? Yes, he does. In the Old Testament, King David, in Psalm 132, verses 3 through 5, said this, "I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob." David had a passion for the house, the physical house of God. The king couldn't tolerate the fact that he was sleeping in an opulent palace while God's dwelling was a simple tent called the tabernacle. And he said, "We're going to do this." He had a passion for the house of God. In the New Testament, the son of David, Jesus, was passionate about God's house as well. Do you remember when he walked into the temple and he didn't like what he saw going on? He decided, "I'm going to purify the temple. I'm going to purify the house of God. And I'm going to do it like right now." And not with gentle persuasion either. And so he fashioned some whips. And he started driving out the money changers. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? I mean, can you imagine if I did that? He turned over the tables. He cleansed the temple because he was passionate about the house of God. And scripture says of both David and Jesus, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Zeal for your house will consume me. Listen, if God's house was important to King David and King Jesus, then investing in it should be our passion too. Amen? So this new vision will include a sacrificial effort to upgrade and update our gathering place of worship. Together. Our second initiative is Grow. This focuses on launching community groups throughout Portland. Acts 20:20 says they met from house to house. That's where the real work of the New Testament church took place, from house to house. They did discipleship there. They did ministry there. They served. They used their gifts. They did pastoral care there. They helped people to grow spiritually. They reached out to their community. The community saw them in relationship and in spiritual relationship. That's where the New Testament really did the work of the church. Earlier in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, verse 46 of the very, very first church, it says, daily they worshiped together at the temple in that physical, time-specific place and met in small groups in homes for communion, sharing their meals with great joy and thankfulness. In the next verse, Acts 2:47 gives the result of the church dispersing from the public gathering place to the different quadrants of Jerusalem. It says the whole city was favorable to them, and daily God added to them all who were being saved. The lost saw the organic body of Christ in action in a way they couldn't in just the corporate gathering. They weren't just hearing about a loving God from a pulpit in the temple. They were seeing a loving God in believers doing life together from their homes. They were witnessing it up close and personal. If we're to be an authentic New Testament church, if we're to impact Portland like the first church impacted Jerusalem, then here's what we've got to do. We've got to put the church back into the community as compelling expressions of the body of Christ. For whatever reason, in these later years of the practice of the church, we've pulled in and we've made the physical gathering place about the only location-specific place where we do our church work. That's not the early church, and I want us to get back to that. And so my vision is that Portland Christian Center will become a church of small groups and not just a church with small groups. We're not just going to have a smattering amount of small groups. We want to be fundamentally a small groups church, a community group's church. So let's put Portland Christian Center in every neighborhood in the metro area in the form of home churches, little home churches. I know that worries some people. There used to be a house church movement, which was kind of done in rebellion to this, to the gathering body of the church. But we're not going to do it that way. We're just going to put the church back out where the New Testament church operated at its best. And if we do that, and if we do that well, if we do that the way they did in the first church, we won't be able to keep the lost out of the church dispersed. You see, it's first of all, it's how we're going to grow spiritually and numerically, and it's how we're going to reach Portland. Do you know that right now, today, the average Portlander will not darken the doorway of a church building? But if they see us, the church, doing life together in our homes, in our neighborhoods, if they see that love that is flowing, the sacrifice, the servanthood in the community gathered, we won't be able to keep them away. They're going to say, I want in. Whatever that is, I want in. That's what happened in the first church. They're going to say that of us as well. You know, several weeks ago, we had a memorial service over in the chapel for Teddy Graham. Most of you know Teddy. He was a fixture around here. Teddy was an unusual guy that God's grace had just transformed his life. And you know what he would do? He would go around and he would say, has anyone told you they loved you today? Well, if they haven't, let me tell you, Jesus loves you and so do I. We had his service. And as I was delivering the message, I noticed that in the front part of the, of the chapel, there was an entire group of Portlanders, if you know what I mean. I know that because they had more body piercings than I'd ever seen on any one person. And they had more tattoos than you can imagine. And at first, you could just tell they were uptight. But as they experienced the presence of God and the love of God, they began to relax and they began to cry. And you could tell that they were having a moving experience. I talked to one of them afterwards. And it was kind of the leader of the pack. And he said to me, you know, I've made some pretty wrong assumptions about this church and churches like it. You know, I had a picture in my mind of what this would be, but you're not like that at all. We've got to communicate that to this city. Right. And the best way we can do it is to get out there where they are. Yeah. And that's what Teddy Graham did. He went over into Southeast Portland and hung out at a coffee shop where all these people either worked or they hung out at as well. And they experienced the love of God so much that Teddy became one of their heroes and they showed up for his service. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do. If we display God's love in doing life together, our lost neighbors will want in. They will. They met publicly and house to house. So we too are going together and we're going to grow. And then the third initiative, the final thing I want to talk about this morning is go. Go. The focus here is on missions. Acts 20, 21 says, as they dispersed, they declared that people must turn to God in repentance through faith in Jesus. Wherever they went, they proclaimed. If you go back to Acts 8, 4, it says of the first church, those who scattered preached the word wherever they went. They were a missional church. And by the way, that's still our mission. That's still our mission, to make him known wherever we go. That's what it is. That's why we exist. That's what we're to do. Now, I think most of you know, if you're a guest, you would know this, but we've been doing an amazing job of that with our overseas mission, if I might say so myself. In the last decade, our missions giving was over $15 million. Almost $16 million. I think that's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. But you ain't seen nothing yet. The vision that God has put in my heart is for that number to double by 2030. Yeah. Amen. We're going to be a church that gives $30 million a year away to missions. You're thinking, oh, how can we do that? I don't know. Do we have that money? No. Do you have that money? I don't know. Probably not. But I believe because I've been praying this, and I believe that what I pray God brings to pass, I've been praying that God will raise up people, young men, young women with unique abilities to make money. And so some of you sitting here today are going to become millionaires, if not billionaires. I'm praying that for you. You don't know it yet, so stay in school. Be smart. Don't do dumb things. I believe God has gifted you. You don't even know it yet, but I would challenge you to start praying about that. God, make me a successful business person who makes millions, if not billions of dollars. I know a person, a friend of mine in this church, a successful business person who is praying. He's praying for God to make him a billionaire. Why? Not to have more homes. You don't need 7 homes. You don't need a 25,000 foot home, a square foot home. You don't need like 25 cars. You don't need to wear a $125,000 wristwatch when you play football, like some knucklehead does. You don't need that. God will give you wealth. God will give you wealth if you will dedicate yourself to extending his kingdom around the world, because that's the only investment that really counts. Everything else that we spend our money on, you realize this, it's going to turn to dust and go away. The only thing that will follow us into eternity is what we do in faith to win others to Jesus Christ. So God is wanting to bless some people in order to do that as they dedicate themselves for that purpose. And I believe some of you are going to be crazy rich Christians. He's going to do it. You don't believe me, but he's going to do it. I'm going to pray it in. And I may not even be around to reap the spiritual pride that comes as a result of that. I just believe God is going to do that. So how are we going to do this $30 million a year? Just wait and see. God's going to help us. And what we're going to do with it is we are going to launch church planting movements among unreached people groups throughout the world. Places like South Sudan that has no Assembly of God presence in it right now. And so I'm talking to our denominational officials at the highest levels of missions. And I'm saying, and they're saying, hey, we want to have the Assemblies of God in South Sudan. I'm saying, we can do that. I can do that. We have 300 churches there already. This is not a big deal. So can we get together and talk about it? I'll facilitate what you want to do. Our church will facilitate what you want to do there. We're going to plant churches in South Sudan that desperately, desperately needs it. And there are other places. I believe we're going to unleash a church planting movement among the unreached Amazonian tribes through missionary Cameron Burchett. I believe that we are going to unleash church planting movements among Muslim peoples everywhere because God is stirring their hearts and there's a revival coming among the Islamic nations and the Islamic people. God is going to use this church for that, I believe. And, by the way, God is bringing the unreached into our neighborhoods. He's making it easy on us. He's saying, yeah, you don't have to go overseas anymore. I'm going to bring them to you. And it's happening through immigration. We talked about that last Wednesday night. And some of you have some real strong feelings about that. And there's a lot of immigration. There's legal and illegal. And we need to have the rule of law to govern that and not be apologetic about that. It's fitting and right that we do. But once they're here, whoever they are, however they got here, we need to be the hand of Christ extended to them and win them to Jesus Christ. And so God is bringing the unreached of the world right to us within a stone's throw of our church. In this part of Portland, we have an opportunity to reach unreached people groups. And so our mission strategy is going to morph and no longer be so much about where, but whom. It's not about where we're going anymore. It's about to whom are we going, and we're going to go. And God, I believe with all my heart that God will grant our request, our prayer, that we would become the greatest conduit for the completion of the Great Commission the world has ever known. That's a big, hairy, audacious prayer. And to some of you, it might sound kind of egotistical to pray that. We're not praying that because we're so full of pride and we think we can do it. We just believe in asking God for big things. Why not? Why not? Why not pray bigly? Because, by the way, somebody thought I'm a Trump supporter because I say that. I said that before Trump did, so just get off it. That's just a great word. God answers bigly to people who will pray bigly. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to Him so that He might show His great power in helping them. Why can't we be those people that He finds? Because, oh my goodness, Portland Christian Center, look at that. I can bless them. I believe He will answer that prayer to use us as the greatest conduit for the completion of the Great Commission before the Lord returns the world has ever seen. So we're going to go. We're going to gather, we're going to grow, and we're going to go. So that's a sneak peek. That's a sneak peek at Vision 2020. And here's what I believe God will cause to be said of Portland Christian Center as we're obedient to the heavenly vision. It's found in Acts 17:6. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. You want to shake the world? You want to turn it upside down? Hey, listen, this is how we change the world. Hashtag, this is how we change the world. Boom. This is how we change the world. Are you with me on this? I hope you are. I hope you are, because God help you if you're not. You got the wrong pastor. So, last 2 minutes of this message. I'm going to invite our musicians to come back. We're going to sing a song as a response of faith, an affirmation of faith, and an affirmation of saying, yes, God, I'll pray to connect with your vision for Portland Christian Center. So we'll do that in a moment. But let me just say this. Between today and the launch of Vision 2020, how can you engage in God's vision for Portland Christian Center? Well, I'm glad you asked. Would you pull out the vision card, the Vision 2020 card from your bulletin? Each of you should receive one of these. Looks like this. And I want you to turn it to the back side, because I've created some prayer points, and I'm going to ask you every day to begin to pray these. As we gather, here's what you pray. As we grow in anticipation of that, here's what we're praying. As we go, here's what we're praying in anticipation of that. I'm going to challenge us all to put this card in a place where we can see it and pray it. I want all of our prayer leaders to pray this. We have weekly prayer teams, our deacon's prayer team, our Wednesday night prayer team, media prayer. We have people that pray through the medium of Facebook and social media teams. If you stand up in front of a class or a group once a week, you would pray about this, that we would pray this. Can you imagine what would happen if we would all pray this consistently over the next several weeks between now and 2020? What would happen? What would God do if corporately and individually we call upon God to help us with this? So would you do that? If you will engage in this, God will speak to you. And He may say, you know, you're off the hook. You don't have to do anything. I doubt it, but He may. And if He does, that's fine. But He's going to give you the vision, and He's going to give you the faith and the courage to step out and be a part of this. And then I've written for you a simple prayer. I love simple prayers, and we're going to pray this simple prayer in a moment. But I would just encourage you to pray the simple prayer for Vision 2020. And if we will do this, if we will pray these vision points together, and especially this simple prayer, here's what's going to happen. God is going to give us 2020 vision for Vision 2020. God will give you His vision for what He wants for this church. What does God see? What do you see? Hopefully, what you see becomes what God has already seen. So I want you to stand with me, if you would, please. And we're going to pray this simple prayer together, everybody out loud. And this is one of the prayers. I think you can pray with your eyes open anytime you want, but you need to do this today, especially, right? If you're going to pray it. So from your heart, every voice, God, fulfill your plans to bless my church. Protect us, keep us from harm. Prosper our mission, and make us the hope of the world for your glory alone. God, I pray for Portland Christian Center that you would make us the hope of the world. Because your word says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The world will not see Jesus unless they see Jesus in us. And so as we gather and your presence shows up, as we grow together in our homes throughout this community, may the lost be attracted. And as we go near and far, as we truly become global, truly global, that is afar and right here, that we would begin to reach people with the greatest story ever told. I pray that you would give us 2020 vision, and that vision 2020 would be fulfilled in our time. God, as we come up on 100 years of history here, which we're grateful for, I pray that our sense would be that as we do what you've called us to do, as we go where you're calling us to go, that unless you return before then, that this church would have another 100 years of vibrant ministry and kingdom impact. God, we pray this.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.